Welcome today to this interview series with outstanding professionals. Today we're interviewing Maura DeRoche, who is a notable and very successful leader in business, education, and information technology. And she will share many of her experiences and insights and lessons from the past, and also her goals and vision for the future. Thank you, Maura, for coming in today to do this interview.
It's a pleasure, Stephen. Thank you for having me.
So, Maura, what have you been doing since we last talked? And it's been a few years now.
Yes. So I remain very involved with the Institute of IT Professionals of South Africa. As you know, I'm a professional member and a fellow of the Institute, and I'm also a director. One of my roles is to work with the South African Computer Olympiad Trust, and it really annoys me that when we run the Computer Programming Olympiad, where the top four actually participate internationally, we very rarely get any girls in the top 12. Now, I used to teach COBOL programming, so I'm well aware that girls are just as capable of programming than boys are. So I realized that there's something going on. And because of my interest in promoting women in IT, I proposed to the Institute that we offer programming scholarships to three girls, which would be for their last 3 years of high school, using an online programming school that aligns to the International Examination Board exams. This is my first year, so I have my first three girls, and I'm hoping to grow that. So that's something that I'm very excited about. It's at the moment meeting mixed success, but as you know, I'm very passionate about e-learning and online learning, but I also know what the issues are, so I am trying to overcome those issues with my three candidates. We will hopefully continue this program, and I'm looking forward to the results. I'm looking forward to it making a change. It will be a slow process. As you know, Stephen, I am very interested in women in IT, so I work with the Institute in our various initiatives to try and promote that, and you very kindly introduced us as well to the person who runs the ITU Equals program, and I think the IITPSA as well as IP3 will be very interested in collaborating with Equals, because all of us have the same goals, that is to promote women in ICT.
Maura, how would you see the work of the IFIP organization in terms of your contribution to it? IFIP being the International Federation of Information Processing, founded in 1960 and consisting of IT and computer science societies.
Okay, well, I've been involved with IP3 since it was founded in 2007. In fact, was at the meeting when it was conceived in 2006. So professionalism in ICT is one of my great passions. I'm also passionate about ethics in ICT, but in business generally. And as technology develops, we find that the whole question of ethics and trust becomes more and more important. From an IFIP point of view, we started off as just being a task force, but over the years, IFIP has seen the impact that IP3 has, both in terms of its accreditation programs, but even more particularly in the ability that we've had to develop relationships globally. Like you, Stephen, I sit on the Global Industry Council, and I think that is quite an innovation for IFIP that they never had before. IFIP traditionally was very academic, and I think with the Global Industry Council and our other activities at forums like WISIS, we've really had a large impact in bringing IFIP, the body, closer to corporates, as well as remaining very close to academia. And I think that that's been very gratifying. I'm also pleased to say that now that we are official part of IFIP, in that we're written into their rules and terms of reference, we also have a seat on their General Assembly. So we not only can do good work, but we can even help steer the very good work that IFIP do. While we're talking about IFIP, I have to say I was beyond thrilled when I received the IFIP Silver Core Award. I never, ever expected to be recognized by IFIP in that way. So that was truly an honor for me and truly an honor for you too, Stephen, because you also received that award. But it was so unexpected and very, very, I was very, very thrilled with that. One continues one's work because you're passionate about it, but to be recognized for it as well is really gratifying.
Maura, there's the ITU, the International Telecommunications Union, which is a United Nations agency responsible for technology. I know you've been doing a lot of work with them. Can you talk more about that?
Well, you know, we started to go to the World Summit for Information Society, hosted and organized by ITU in 2012. And I think it was an eye-opener for us because it really brought us into contact with the Information Society, as the name said, to see what the issues are with people that aren't in ICT, but are the people of the world, if you understand what I mean. So I think that working with ITU through the WISIS forum, we've really got a better understanding of the issues that face everybody. So we've taken ourselves beyond just being very focused around ICT practitioners and ICT professionalism and stood outside of that realm and said, well, why is ICT professionalism important to everybody else? And I think that it took a bit of time for us to actually come to terms with that and change our messaging so that the people at ITU and the rest of the participants in that wonderful forum that's WISIS could actually see why it's important that the ICT professionals who provide the services are ethical, are trustworthy. I also think that we've really made an impact in terms of looking at the SDGs and how we can align what we do to the SDGs and even where the gaps are. I think too that we've been able to take our message to WISIS every year, and year on year we see that our message is received better and that we better supported. So I think it's one of those things that is a long journey, but is well worth it in the end. If I can also add, the first year we went to WISIS in 2012, one of the people we met was from Tanzania. And I gave him my business card and chatted to him because being from Africa, I always take a special interest in other delegates from Africa. And he said that he'd be in touch. And many years went by. And then last year in 2016, he actually reached out to me. And one of our directors of RP3, Adrian Schofield, actually went to Tanzania last year to talk to them about in professionalism ICT. And from a government point of view, they've actually progressed to the extent that this year in October, they hope to run a conference with 500 or so delegates on professionalism ICT. And I've offered my services to help them organize that conference because I really think it will be quite an achievement for that country. But to me, what it's illustrative of is that you've got to take the time to actually let things develop and percolate, if you like. You don't go one year and everything changes. You've actually got to show that sort of steadfastness. And whilst you adapt the message to get through to the people you want to, you're still there with the same core message. And I think that eventually you get noticed. And that is so gratifying. I'm so pleased too, Stephen, that you are more and more involved with ITU activities. And that more puts RP3 on the map. But I think it's really been a collaborative affair with those of us that attend WISIS really working very hard. But I'm so thrilled that we've, again, and we've brought IFIP, I think, closer to ITU, and that we've been able to take a UN body, IFIP, and actually have seen the connections between IFIP and ITU that perhaps wasn't so apparent previously. So I'm very pleased with the work we do, and certainly I would like, in my own way, to also get more involved with ITU because I think that they do sterling work on a number of fronts.
Well, this EQUALS program is this gender equality, diversity, equity program. and tied to the ITU and United Nations, and specifically the SDG 5 or Sustainable Development Goals 5, which is about gender equality. Very interesting work.
About gender equality, yes, absolutely. And I noticed just today that ITU are celebrating Youth Day. I think that initiatives like that really do bring the whole community together, to really do bring everybody into this IT space, so that it's not them and us anymore, but we become a much bigger community. So I was impressed to see that as well.
Maura, you've also been doing some work in cybersecurity. Can you talk more about that?
Yes, e-learning is really my profession. And last year, I met with a professor from the University of Johannesburg, Professor von Solms. And Professor von Solms is a past president of IFIP, as it happens. But I've known him for a very long time because of, the associate. He was the ITPSA representative on General Assembly. Anyway, he asked me if I could help with developing a program for them, a diploma in cybersecurity. So I recruited a couple of e-learning developers, and the three of us developed, my two developers developed, and I edited and oversaw the development of an e-learning program on cybersecurity. So whilst it's a topic that I've always been interested in, I now understand a whole lot more about it. I can also say I'm a lot more frightened by what can go wrong, but it really has been an eye-opener for us. And indeed, the university has offered that we can actually do the exams for the diploma, so that we can get the diploma as well. So it's opened a new knowledge avenue for me. And I really live what I talk, because I'm a lifelong learner. I continually learn a number of things that are relevant to the industry, relevant to learning, and relevant to professionalism. So it's been great for me to really become far more familiar with cybersecurity. I have a dream that one day we will have cybersecurity learning, good cybersecurity learning, for the whole world. I'm also very chuffed, while we're on the subject of skills, that ITU is also pushing the subject of digital skills so strongly. Because digital skills are so important to everybody. Sorry, Stephen, my phone's just going and I need to get rid of it. There we go. Sorry about that. Because digital in the 21st century, I sincerely believe that digital skills, and indeed privacy and security are one of those digital skills, is as important as numeracy and literacy. So we can't have a situation where people don't have the digital skills we need. So I'm very, very gratified to see the push that ITU are also making towards digital skills. And I think there was even talks of having a Geneva Convention on digital skills, and I think that's fantastic.
Maura, let's talk more about your business professional life, projects you're working on or you're planning to work on coming up.
Okay. The other thing, that I'm doing apart from my e-learning project is I recently was appointed to the board of a company called MTC. MTC is the company that's charged with broadband rollout for the city of Johannesburg. And it's quite fantastic for me to actually be asked onto a board of a city that's not the city that I live in, but where my skills and knowledge of the industry are recognized. And indeed, where I'm acknowledged for my passion for ethics and my knowledge of HR. I happen to chair the board committee for HR and remuneration, and I sit on the board committee for ethics and social transformation. So it's fantastic that they've actually brought me onto a board and are really using my skills on that board. And it requires me to travel to Johannesburg, but I'm very pleased to be able to serve. And to help them to develop, in South Africa, really the more broadband rollout, especially free Wi-Fi to disadvantaged community, which is what the company is doing, is very important. So it's very nice to be part of the initiative that's working on that, and to guide in my own small way, to guide them to do it the right way.
Or you are a notable leader and visionary for Africa, have been working in Africa for some time. Can you talk about some of the major challenges in Africa and their solutions?
The real challenge is access to the internet and data availability. Data remains very expensive. It's particularly expensive in South Africa. I think that data might be more expensive here than anywhere else in the world. So data availability and access to the internet are our real challenges, because we know that once people have access to the internet, it changes the world. It changes, you receive economic transformation. And unfortunately, a lot of countries, a lot of smaller countries do have the political will to change it. And we see that happening in countries like Rwanda, who've had a remarkable success story because they have the political will. But very often in other countries, it's sometimes paid lip service to, but not a lot else. So that is a real challenge, because if you could just make access universal in Africa, then you would really have achieved something. I think too that the access has to be not just centered around cities. I believe that if people can work and earn a decent living in their communities and not always have to migrate to the cities, that then you get much better economic equity across a country rather than having it very concentrated in a few cities. So I think that access, and then access in rural and remote areas, is very, very much an issue. And some of our African countries, Zimbabwe, for instance, who are quite a small society, but I have to say that they have as many professional members as does the Institute of IT Professionals of South Africa. And I will be speaking at their conference later in the year. They call it their summer school. And that conference is really focusing a lot around learning and professionalism, as well as a few other topics. So that's our country just to the north, and we're very proud of what they're doing. I mentioned Tanzania. Kenya, too, has had some successes with much better access to the internet and so on, and remain an example to the rest of Africa. But it's a huge continent with many, many, many people, and we really are on the wrong side of the digital divide, I guess. But I see, certainly in South Africa, statistics are showing that more and more people have access to the internet, but the difference is that it's always through their mobile phones. So mobile and smartphones have made a huge, huge difference to giving people access, because that's how most people in this country and in Africa actually access the internet.
Well, there's the fourth industrial revolution, which is all about disruptive innovation on the physical, the digital, and the biological side. Perhaps this question is somewhat controversial. However, do you think Africa should concentrate or at least have some focus on the fourth industrial revolution and embracing it together with working on things like basic infrastructure and so on?
No, Africa should absolutely embrace the fourth industrial revolution. And the reason is that the economic benefits, in my opinion, far outweigh the disadvantages. Now, I realize that a lot of people worry about loss of jobs and so on, but we keep talking about creating decent jobs. And I believe that the fourth industrial revolution will enable us to create decent work, so that it goes from the manual to being slightly more knowledge worker kind of jobs. And that, I think, is to be welcomed. So we really do need to embrace the fourth industrial revolution. And if we don't, again, we will be left behind, because it's, yeah, we can't say, oh, well, you know, it would have been like ignoring the industrial revolution. It would have happened whether we embraced it or not. So we have to embrace it. And I'm very impressed by the opportunities. I spoke to the Chamber of Commerce in Cape Town last year about the fourth industrial revolution. And most of the people there were in manufacturing and logistics and so on. And as you talk to them, they actually see the opportunities that an internet of everything and the connectedness of the fourth industrial revolution brings to them. So it really offers so many advantages that it must be embraced. I was also pleased that whereas last year the focus of WEF was very much around the fourth industrial revolution, that this year the focus was around responsible and responsive leadership. And so it's a good segue into the next thing is that we have to have that responsible leadership. We've spoken about the requirement for trust in artificial intelligence and the Internet of Things. So that responsibleness needs to be there, but also the responsiveness to actually see, to welcome the change, to welcome the disruption and benefit from it. So I think Africa really needs to wake up to the fourth industrial revolution because it's here. We can't ignore it.
Maura, you've got some upcoming speaking engagements and travel. Can you talk more about that?
Okay, so I have lots of travel, but just from here to Cape Town to Johannesburg, pretty well every week for the next several weeks. In early September, I'll be talking at the e-learning conference, the e-learning update conference. It's an annual conference, and this is its ninth iteration. And I've spoken at probably about six out of the nine of those. And this year, I'm speaking about the ethics in learning because I actually came across an article about ethics in learning, which wasn't the first time that I'd thought about it. Last year when I spoke the TC3 conference in Portugal, and I spoke about the role of the education and academia in producing professionals and spoke a lot about ethics. The next day, a speaker that's very involved in teacher training and training teachers about the use of technology said to me, you know, I've actually changed my talk because I realize that we haven't focused enough on ethics in education. So that was my first little spark. And then reading this article, it made me think we need to talk about, you know, I talk about ethics in ICT, but I need to talk about ethics in learning some more. So I'm enjoying putting that presentation together. And then the following week, we'll be in Sri Lanka, in Colombo, and we'll be talking at the SEOC conference. And I'm actually adopting the WEF theme of responsible and responsive leadership. And together with the president of IITPSA, I'm going to be addressing that subject with a focus on the issues facing CIOs on responsive and responsible leadership. So I'm preparing for that as well. And then in November, as I mentioned, I will be talking at the Computer Society Zimbabwe Summer School and we'll be adapting that sort of talk to them as well, changing it up a bit. But also incorporating some of the ethics side. So I will be speaking there and possibly will be speaking at the conference in Tanzania at the end of October. So I'm getting there, getting to be as busy as you with these speaking engagements, Stephen, but not quite.
Maura, we're coming near the end, to the end of this interview. Are there other sort of comments and areas you want to address both on the nonprofit side, but also on the business professional side?
No, I just think that we need to continue the conversation collectively around trustworthiness because we're very conscious that as we move into the fourth industrial revolution, artificial intelligence, the Internet of Things, that trustworthy provision of ICT becomes more and more important, and that an educated population around privacy and security and all the other digital skills becomes very, very important. So that together with gender diversity, I think will continue to be my themes for the next couple of years, I think.
Maura, you have prominent leadership roles within IFIP, this International Federation of Information Processing, but also within the IT Professionalism Program, which is IP3. Can you talk about some of your goals for the future?
I think we have to develop the partnership further. So we need to find more people who we have members, and indeed all IFAP members are eligible to be members with IP3. But I think we've got to develop the partnership role further. And also we need to look at the work of the technical committees of IFAP and to see where there's possibilities for collaboration. They too are volunteer committees, and it saddens me that to some extent our work overlaps. Everybody's got something that drives them crazy, and one of the things that drives me crazy is duplication of effort. I think it's a sad thing that happens when more than one body that are part of the bigger umbrella body are doing exactly the same thing. So I would like to see a sharing partnership, if you get what I mean, where we can, and collaborative partnerships. And that's why I welcome the introduction to the Equals program at ITU, because I believe we should collaborate on that and in some other areas. So we really need to look at having sharing partnerships to where everybody can benefit. The other thing I'm looking forward to us doing is updating the Skills 2020 guide, because the jobs in ICT have changed and the roles have changed and the focus on cybersecurity is quite significant. So we are working on updating that guide, and we'll put the new version out in 2018. So I think that's something that I'm also looking forward to, because I think that was a significant piece of work for IFAP RP3, and I think it will be good to update it. And again, hopefully in a sharing way where we can share information from other organizations and indeed the private sector.
Maura, I know there's tremendous demands on your time because of the notable contributions you've made in the past and continue making to the future. I really want to thank you for coming in today to do this interview.
It's a pleasure, and thank you. Thank you for having me. And if I can just end with saying that everybody needs a purposeful life, and so many of my volunteer activities give my life purpose, and that's why I'm so devoted to them.
Excellent message to end this interview. So thank you again for coming in today.
Thanks, Stephen. Enjoy your day.